guys, happy new year, and thank you again for joining me, your unfriendly black hottie, here in my confidential corner, where I will be confessing and divulging the details of my currently uneventful life. The most eventful thing is me recording this episode right now. I have a full episode here, just sitting here, staring back at me at my laptop. Just sitting here, not going to be released because the audio sounds like dog shit, and I would not put y'all in that position to be forced to listen to the true, utter bullshit that all of that episode is. I tried so hard just to edit it perfectly where you can get out all of the pops and clicks because my microphone was hitting fucking anything that was moving near it. It was so fucking hypersensitive. The technical woes of being a starting podcaster, but y'all aren't here for that. Y'all are here to just hear me talk my shit, and that's what I'm here to fucking do. As we go into the new year, there's this wave, this new energy, and I feel like this new energy comes with even number years specifically. I don't know what it is. It's just that jazz, that spice that even number years have. Shout out class of 2016. If you know, you know. If you don't, but those years, those even years, minus 2020. That was a bad year. That was a rough one. minus that year. They always got zest, a spice to them that just brings a new wave of energy, a new, I don't know, je ne sais quoi about it. You know what I mean? I'm feeling pumped up. Not necessarily like, you know, new year, new me type bullshit, because we're all are forever growing and changing. And, you know, I don't like the idea that there's this huge fucking, you know, change in person that happens at the beginning of each year. If anything, it's just a time to reflect back on the growth that you have done and the growth that you might need to continue to work on looking forward. You know, it's definitely a reflection point, not a metamorphosis, if you will. But I like that this year particularly, I feel that energy, that renewed energy of wanting to grow personally. You know what I mean? And I did not realize that that would lead to me making some of the decisions I've made. But at the same time, I regret nothing. Going into this new year, I have a couple segments set up just to guide the show a little bit. And for our first segment I want to get into, it is our playback, where I am going to be divulging just some highlights from my life, from any past time. And for our first playback segment, I'm going to be taking us back to the last couple weeks of 2021, just to reflect on what I've learned closing out the last year. So taking us back to, say, a couple weeks after the last episode I posted, and if you haven't gone listen to it, go ahead and go back and listen to it. Don't worry. It's cute. It's fun. It's jazzy. It's a real idea of how hard it is for me to get these things out. But right after that, I had my friend come over and we were going to be recording what was supposed to be episode 11. And I mentioned a little story about how I went to go see the new Spider-Man movie with my boyfriend. And there was a situation that ended up happening at the time. And I think it's really funny and a very well-rounded explanation to the experience that you can have even being a little black hottie, you know, living in a perceived nice area where the children are frolicking around. And let me set the fucking scene. It is a Sunday in the middle of the afternoon, a matinee, if you will. I don't know if matinee is during the weekday, but whatever. It's in the middle of the day. There is a children's birthday party happening at this theater. I've never been to this theater before. It just happens to be really close to where I live. And it was showing the movie that has been sold out everywhere. So we're like, yeah, it's opening weekend. Let's go see the new Spider-Man movie. I need to see what the fuck is going on. And at this point, if you haven't seen it by now, I'm not spoiling anything. But, like, I mean, I guess I would be. I'm not going to do that. Some people, you know, they can't go out. They can't see it for whatever reason. So I'm not going to give nothing away. But it's great. And if you haven't seen it yet, you need to go see it. But our viewing almost got ruined. Literally ruined by this grown-ass man trying to be a little Karen. And if you're not familiar with the terminology of Karen, it is basically a white woman usually crying wolf about any situation with any person of color to use their tears to take advantage of the situation and make it things go their way. Usually it is for any mild inconvenience that rubs them the wrong way, they're crying wolf. But this grown man that was not white, mind you, white adjacent to say the least, but definitely not on white women, definitely tried to pursue the same type of action and he failed miserably. And here's the situation. We're in the movies, right? And we get there right in time when the movie is starting. We have our snacks. I have all of my items. It's cold outside. I have my coat. Let me describe the fucking fit too, just so you have an idea of how I'm looking. I have my comfy Ari flare pants. They're really cute with this light blue color. I have my furry sweater on. It's really furry. It's white. Super cute. Got my UGG boots and this jacket with fur cuffs and fur trim lining that matches my UGG boots, like the same brown color. You know, real cute. Have my Tuffler, you know, black owned. We love it out here. Have it, you know, on me. And we're sitting down because I got my popcorn, these stale ass fucking nachos that ended up being fucking disgusting and I didn't eat, and my icy. So I have a lot of things going on. I'm taking my jacket off. I'm getting comfortable. You know, I'm getting ready to watch the movie with my boo. And this is a type of theater that has like numbered seats and everything like that. And where we were sitting, there is a father and his kid on like near the end of like the row that we're sitting at. And then there's two seats, and I would be, based on our seat number, I would be sitting right next to them. And I'm like, we're in the middle of a pandemonium, and there were four seats on the other side, like three seats on the other side. So I'm like, okay, I'll just go on the other side, because the other two seats didn't even have like numbers on the seating. So I'm like, okay, so no one should be sitting there anyways, because they're not even numbered. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, boom. We're sitting down. We're getting ready. And mind you, we get in like right at the end of all the trailers. So the movie is starting at this point. Like, we are watching the movie. It's like 5 minutes into the fucking movie, and these two guys are barging their way down our aisle to sit in those two seats, right? And I'm like, there are two seats and there's stuff right here. So like, unless they just knew, and it's dark. My thing is, it seems like they were just sitting wherever they thought they could sit. They didn't seem like they were looking at their ticket and like, oh, these are our seats and this is the real. No, they weren't doing all of that, because they were barging all through drunk. One, because this movie theater is like sold alcohol, which is like fine, but he's spilling beer all over the fucking place. You're running in late into a movie on a Sunday in the middle of the day. There are kids here. There's literally a child's birthday party happening outside. Like, this is not really the place for you to be coming in being fucking drunk and rude, basically. And this is how they were being fucking rude. This is how they had me fucked the fuck up. So they scoot by without even saying excuse me. They just brushing through, and I'm like, okay, what the fuck. The other dude sits on the other seat that's free. The one dude that's holding the beer just tries to sit down in the seat, and I have my popcorn on like the floor because the seat like flips up, so I couldn't put it in the seat. And he just like pushes the seat down and my popcorn gets crushed. And I'm like, excuse me, like, you're crushing my popcorn. And then he looks down and he's looking at my stuff. He's like, what is this? And I'm like, it's my fucking purse. What are you talking about? You see, there's a, do you not under, like, why are you asking dumb ass fucking questions? These are the real fucking questions. Why are you being stupid? Why are you being dumb? Literally, I go and I'm like moving my stuff. He's like, is there any more of your stuff over here? And I'm like, no, but you need to fuck all the way off. He was like, how about you fuck off? I'm like, did you want to fight or something? Because you're not going to come at me in that tone after you're being fucking rude and you don't know how to say fucking excuse me. Like, what did you think was going to happen? You thought I was going to be sweet about it? Fuck no, baby. I'm from Florida. We don't play out here. I really don't play that fucking shit. Don't let the cute fucking face and the cute fucking fit fool you. All right. I'll rock your shit. But here's the thing. Let it, like, remind you, this is what the conversation was verbatim. What I said was, fuck off. He was like, you fuck off. And I said, do you want to fight? And he was like, do you want to go to jail? And I'm like, jail? Are you serious? Please get the fuck out of my face. Yes, racially motivated, because where the fuck does jail come from? Who are they arresting out here? Arresting for what? Makes a whole scene leaving, apparently, like, I don't know, he was doing something, I don't care, we're in here watching the fucking movie, because I don't give a fuck about shit like that. I'm like, ain't nobody worried about whatever the fuck he got going on. So we're watching the movie. Moments later, before it even gets to the good part, and we really lucked out, because we were about to miss some of the greatest action of the movie, like some of the reason why people came to the fucking theater in the first place. And I would have been hot as hell if I missed some crucial parts. But basically, an usher's in there doing laps and like asking people around about like what's going on with the disturbance or whatever, and everyone's just really like, I don't really give a fuck, I'm here to watch the fucking movie. Those guys were just being jerks. That's really the sum of what everyone was fucking saying, because who's really being a threat out here? Like, it's me. I'm around a bunch of grown adult nerds or parents with their kids. You know what I mean? Like, let's really know the audience we're talking about. You know what I mean? Why are you feeling threatened? Because if you, and but mind you, I'm the only black person like in vicinity here as well. So I'm like, I already know what the fuck is going on. So we get asked to like step out, and I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. So I'm out here and I'm breaking down the situation, because I'm setting the scene for y'all. I set the scene with my fit, because imagine having me and my boyfriend walk out and placing not even the threat. Well, because the guy that walked out, he made the claims that I was threatening his life and I was threatening to beat his ass or something like that. Mind you, the question was, do you want to fight? Not the question was, do you want to fight? Not, I'm going to slap my knuckle upside your temple. You know what I mean? Those are two different statements. One of them is a statement and one of them is a question. Is, do you want to fight? Not that you're just calling yourself out of seeing me as a threat. But why do you see me as a threat? Because this is a grown ass man. And he's literally like a grown man. Like, he probably goes to the gym and lifts weight type grown man. Like, let's really be real. Not that I could not beat your ass. I definitely could, and I would win, and it would be funny. It would be fucking hilarious. The kids would be like, ah, ha, 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 laughing at you, because they think this big strong man is supposed to win, but he wouldn't. You would still get your ass rocked. But that's not what the setup was. The question was, do you want to fight? And he took that as, this black woman is threatening me, and that's the picture he was trying to paint. So when I walked out there with my furry fit on, with my tuffler, I'm like, what's that? My French tip, I'm like, yeah, what's the issue? Like, I don't understand, because that's really what I'm rolling with. Because who's gonna see me as a threat? Like, who? And the manager's already sitting there with two tickets, like, all right, boom. She got two tickets in her hand because she already notices some bullshit. She already knows some bullshit. I'm sitting there painting the picture like he's coming in there drunk, being very rude, being very disrespectful, and he's over here trying to gaslight me from the corner, right? And he's like, my boyfriend luckily like pointed this out. I didn't even realize he was like recording all of this. Like he has his phone in his pocket, I guess, recording, and his hands like behind his back. Cause I'm like, he just like, he not handcuffed over there. Like why he got his hands behind his back? But I am assuming he was trying to like, he thought he was going to antagonize me to the point where I would attack him. And I'm like, baby, no, I'm smart. Unfortunately, you got a smart girl over here. Anyways, I don't know what the fuck he was trying to say. He was really talking out his ass because he really was drunk. Being delusional. That's what, and he embarrassed his fucking self. But he ended up pissing off my boyfriend to the point where he bucked at him, right? And he was like, oh no, I was just trying to get close. Like, he played it off. He tried to play it off, and I thought it was funny. But the thing was, and this was ultimately what the picture was, what the scenario was, because this is what I made it out to be. I was like, this is racially motivated. And everyone was like, oh, wait, what? I'm like, but no, like, let's be real. You painted me as the threat, but only me as the threat. Not the grown-ass man that was sitting next to me that didn't say anything until you pissed him off just then and now. And then y'all saw what the real fucking threat was. But we only got brought out here because of me. Not because of the grown-ass man next to me, but because of the black person here. And it was really telling. And once that happened, they were like, yeah, this was some bullshit. Because I'm like, yeah, because everyone saw what the real threat was, and that's not why we're out here. That's not why we're out here. So we got our free tickets, and we got to get right. It was real quick. It really, this was nothing but like 5 minutes. We go back in, get in there just in time to see the movie, see the action. But I say this little story just to say that white adjacent people will also try to pull this little Karen trick all the time. It's happened in different situations, and I think it's funny because they don't think that there are other social dynamics at play. They are other social dynamics at play, and I'm that type of girly that takes advantage of those social dynamics. I see how people perceive me, and I'm gonna take advantage of it, babes. Yeah, I am, because that's how we're gonna make it out in this world. Like, let's be real on fucking that. But this happened like at the very end of the year, and this just really closed out and really completed that people are just gonna be acting crazy, and people are gonna expect you to act crazy, but you just gotta play your fucking cards right. You can't play the crazy they want you to play. And that kind of leads us next into another situation where I realize where people want me to act crazy, but I had to act smarter than that. And that led me to walk out of my job on January 1st, 10:30 in the morning, because I refuse to not be a woman of my word any longer. I will sit here and talk about the exploitations of this capitalist society and how all roots of evil lead back to capitalism, which leads back to white supremacy and all of that. So when I get on here and say that I was leaving an abusive work environment that was embodying all of these things, whether it be outwardly or, you know, covertly, they were still there. And I think all of these working pieces were all of the small microaggressions that kind of built up to me walking out on my own. I don't think that I can paint it as me, you know, taking more control over my own reality, which I am, because that is true. I am an active part in my own reality, and I'm like, I'm not gonna do this fuck shit any longer. You're not gonna exploit me. You're not gonna treat me like a pawn. You're not gonna treat me like my bills and my work and my what I'm contributing to this company doesn't matter, and you can just move me all willy-nilly. And then when I do show any resistance or any type of action of pushback. You cowered behind using your position to further exploit me and further get the upper hand. That's a very weak, weak, spineless play. If I'm going to get into it, let's get into it. I walked into my serving job with a non-existent section with damn near double the staff needed on the floor on a day that was going to be slow. Everyone knows it's going to be slow. If you have any inkling of a social life, if you have any inkling of how people work or any type of movement in a post-COVID world, you would understand that most people, regardless of their views on this pandemic or not, aren't going to be super out there on the first of the year, especially when it's close to a weekend. They went hard as fuck on the Friday night, New Year's Eve, literally popping bottles. Why the fuck do you think we're gonna be slammed? Maybe the kitchen, but the floor? You're not thinking, love. You're not thinking. You're not thinking clearly. They're just rocks in that head, really. Because that is not even putting it, not even that, but just the low expectations of work that you think the quality of work you would get off of the girls that you were putting on this floor, so much so that you would overstaff, that you said you think so lowly of the staff that you hired and trained that they can't handle that type of volume, that you would overstaff on the first of the month or the first of the year in a tipped based job. That does not make any sense at all. You are a dummy. You are inconsiderate, because all these people did not have to. It's just, they didn't have to be there. They didn't have to be there, and I didn't have to be there. You know what? I fucking left. Because I'm like, I refuse. I'm not going to waste my time and energy knowing that I'm not going to make any money. And people will make the argument, was like, well, some money is better than no money. That's not the fucking case. Because that argument is exactly what leads to exploitation. That argument that some is better than none is what leads to exploitation. And I really wish people would drop that argument. I really wish they would just let it fucking go. Really. Because it's exhausting. And, you know, working underneath a narcissist, because that's what my general manager was, a narcissist, you realize that they will continue to really squeeze and manipulate you so much to the point where it's like so delusional. It creates a delusional reality about your work ethic, about what you contribute and what you're capable of. And I'm like, that is so unhealthy. Not I was in an abusive relationship with my work, and I thought I was getting out of it by doing a little part-time job with the crazy guy that, what you call it, was obsessed with me, truly. Like, it's whatever. But I just got done watching this video essay about being gay and doing crime and how the realities of why people interact in crime or do some of these underpaid or exploitative jobs is because they really don't have the option to. And the fact that I felt so desperate needing to seek employment from someone that I knew that I could get money out of just because they had some weird obsession with me, I'm like, that's kind of telling of real life for a lot of people, you know, being forced to do some of these exploitative jobs or work under some of these narcissistic people because you don't have an option, because the system that you're living under and you're working within isn't there to support you either. And that's just the reality of the fact. But after quitting that, because that's something that I also quit to, I quit that not too long ago because I'm like, I'd rather be broke than have to deal with any more narcissists in my life. I've dealt with understanding and being exposed to reality that I've been in more close contact with narcissists for a longer period of time than I have ever realized. Like, that's one thing that's 2021 has definitely taught me, especially towards the end of the year, looking back, realizing what I've accepted, what I was working under, what situations I thought was okay because what I was kind of groomed to feel was okay. I was brought up thinking that that type of expectation, that type of overworking and over access was okay. In reality, it's not. And I realized that there was a cognitive dissonance when it came to trying to instill some of these boundaries. It became so much harder in these same places that I wanted to keep because it was comfortable, that I couldn't instill these new boundaries that I was learning about. And I'm like, why is that the case? And I'm like, because they rely on these overreaching boundaries. Both of my workplaces relied on having access to me to come in and work, or just for the other guy, I just worked as a virtual assistant, but any type of, he just assumed assistant work was me listening to any bullshit he had going on in his life. In reality, that's not the fucking case. And that was just a lot to realize. That was just a lot to learn, to understand that a lot of my foundational relationships also is what led to that. And I'm like, not more trauma, not more therapy I gotta invest in. And I'm like, even trying to find therapy, like the reality of even finding decent help nowadays, I'm like, oh my goodness. There's just so many things to worry about. I don't even know if therapy is even up there in terms of financially possible. Because this is my therapy, y'all. This is what my therapy is. But in that, in all of that, one lesson I pulled out from all of that experience is trusting my own gut intuition in terms of moving for myself. I think that because of all of those relationships, it's kind of lent itself to feeding this inner voice that's always questioning everything I do. And those voices have always been there. I think it's a lot of the reason why I can't live as expressively as I want to. Like, I always want to live so much louder and freer, and I have an idea about how I want people to perceive me, or how I want my perception to come off. And I just know, or how I perceive myself, I just know that I want to perceive myself so much bolder and louder, and I feel like I come off. And the hold up with that is these little voices that have been implanted there, like these seeds of doubt, probably from these covert narcissists that I've been surrounded by, whether it be relationships within my family or friendships outside. And like, it's just been very eye-opening and just reality shifting to realize that there's just been so much under, like, so many more things that have been affecting you more than I've been consciously aware of. And I think that's something I kind of want to get into in terms of what I've learned this year. Another thing is how sly everything is. Like, in terms of everything is so casual. Trauma, anxiety, those things happen so casually. And I think art and media and things that we use to entertain ourselves, we are so much more keen to and aligned to seeing things more dramatically. And we need to see things more dramatically to really put our finger on it. I feel like even with some of the video essays that I watch, it's just the compiling of so much information in one space. You can see the full picture. It's so much more of a dramatic exposure to things, that when things are happening so casually, when people are casually being quote unquote problematic, or those issues that end up, people get, I'm saying quote unquote a lot, but quote unquote canceled for or held accountable for, really like being on a mass scale of being held accountable. Those things are kind of a casual buildup sometimes. Not all the time. Sometimes those are just very blatant, and the society we live in, they just want to ignore it for whatever reason. They have their favorites. Groups have their favorites. They are mass audience that have their favorites, and they will brush aside a lot of things that aren't seen as a big deal, but it's very casual. And I think that the layering of humor in it, and how humor builds culture and relations and all these things, and these subcategories of, you know, niche communities, it can also be a fog or a haze over some very real truths about what may lie on the flip end of those things. So, I don't know. That's just something that I've been reflecting on going into this new year. And yeah, I don't mean to get super, you know, like philosophical or whatever. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm just talking out my neck. And that too. I have a tendency to come back after I complete a statement or anything that I'm thinking freely, or anything that I feel that I've just expressed that was vulnerable, that was showing too much of my inner self. I have to apologize or joke about, and that's not fun. That's not fair, you know, because I think that's just reinforcing that type of second guessing my own intuition, reinforcing that second guessing of really truly expressing myself. So second guessing my own identity, my own self-expression. And I'm really going into this new year not saying that I'm going to be a completely different person, but I know this time next year I will be reflecting on different ways to use my intuition the better I get acquainted with it. You know, just jumping for things, like being, because I can be impulsive, but for whatever reason I'm always impulsive in a self-sabotaging manner. Like, it's never like to my benefit for whatever reason. And I'm like, you know, I can use this impulsive drive to influence me to do better. So with that, we're getting into the next segment, which is What's Popping with the Pop Culture, where I'll just be giving my little highlights and commentary on what's going on in the world. So right now, we're a couple days past when I wanted to get this done, so a couple things might have happened that were originally not written out. But one thing we did start the year off with is the CDC showing how spineless they really are. I always go on my rants and tangents about the woes of capitalism, and there is just nothing better than waking up and seeing that not only did the CDC change their recommendations for isolation if infected with COVID-19, but during a spike nonetheless, a spike and a new infection. with the biggest collab that has hit in years, Deltarona. I thought it was a joke. I thought y'all were joking because remember back when all this started and then everyone was comparing coronavirus to the flu? And they were like, oh, it's just a flu, blah, blah, blah. Now they teamed up because they didn't want y'all comparing. They were like, no, we're two separate people and we want y'all to know who y'all are talking about. Not two separate people, but you know what the fuck I mean. Two personas. They're personas in themselves. And the fact that they teamed up on this collab when we are struggling, literally hanging on by the scrapes of our teeth. Yeah, we all gonna die. That's so sad. That's so whack. Like, it's really giving third world country in a fake Gucci belt. It's really giving, yeah, we did not really look at the job description and we didn't know what we were really signing up for, because this whole commotion, like, the duration of this podcast has been throughout this entire pandemic. And one, you would think I would get a lot more done. You would think that I would reach that milestone a lot sooner. But at the same time, it's a new year. We're going into it looking at the growth, looking at the fact that we're here today. I'm present today. And you know what you can change? Your present. Can't dwell in the past. Can't stress about the future. And that's what we're living in right now. But we do look at the past when it comes to this shit show that has been happening over the past couple years with how the country has been run over not one but two administrations, just really showing that doesn't matter where we turn, no one seemingly in the systems that we have in place seems to know how to maintain the systems we have in place. So that's been, you know, nice eye-opening, something to just get me really pumped about our future and how the societal collapse will be looking within the next couple of years, because that shit's real. And they're showing us every day that this shit is falling apart, that they really don't know what the fuck they got going on back there. And that's just that on that. But in lighter news, new season of Euphoria. I mean, it's not lighter, but there's been a lot of chit chat about whether Euphoria is realistic or not to the high school experience. And I think that this goes to show how different funding and just generally giving a fuck about students can go. A lot of this is showing that these students are a product of a school system that over the years did not give a fuck about them. High school is just, the kids are bigger. This has been going on for years. Getting a little backstory on Fez, the fact that no administration had, I'm giving out spoilers, because if you didn't see it yet, I'll let you, you know, get into it. But you got to catch up, you know, because, you know, the next episode is coming out this weekend. And I'm probably going to just be going over what goes on, especially something juicy happened. I'm going to just be giving those spoilers out. So if you're not caught up, go ahead and catch up. But what happened, what had happened was, in the first episode, I'll give you a little tidbit now. They give a little backstory on Fez, right? And I'm just saying that his grandma had to take into her hands the fact that his father was beating on him. And she had to bust some caps in his kneecaps to really get the message through his thick skull. Now to be putting his hands on her grandbaby like that. She had to do what she had to do, but the fact that there was no CPS called, but then that's just, it's really giving a real look on the fact that those systems are not put in place to really care about people like that. Just saying, you know, people don't know shit get real like this when there's no funding, when people don't give a fuck. It get real fast. It's very much real. Like, just because it's not your reality, just because you've lived in a more compassionate reality when it comes to raising children, regardless if the children are yours or not. Not everyone has had the luxury. I don't understand how people can look at other real life, like rough situations, and be like, cool, why are they in high school, blah, blah, blah. Like, y'all are focusing on the wrong thing. All of this is very real. This is very real because there are some high schools that I purposely got put in programs to stay away from so I wouldn't be experienced to that, you know? Like, it ain't nothing but another Tuesday sometimes. It ain't nothing but another Tuesday for some people. And y'all are really exposing yourselves. You're like, oh my God, this is bad. Like, this is just college. I'm like, yeah, this is college for people who didn't have really, really overprotective parents. It really screamed college for me, but I also have really overprotective parents, and some people weren't doing that because they already experienced it in high school. And I'm like, damn, y'all had to go through this shit in high school? Like, it's very much real like that. Some people, that was just their reality. But nonetheless, it's a show at the end of the day, and it's entertaining. And I think if showrunners do their due diligence of separating, of really highlighting and separating the reality that this is a show, but to take this as more of a warning, not something to be inspired about, except for the clothing. Now, I don't know what, yeah, the clothing is cute. Obviously, dress code don't matter there because they don't care about them kids like that. Duh. If they really cared about them kids like that, Maddie's wardrobe would be very limited. They would have to get a lot more creative. They would have to get so much more creative. And they just didn't have the budget for that, honestly. They probably didn't have the budget time wanting to. They wanted to live in this fancy, dancy world, which is fine. And honestly, I don't know how the kids are dressing in school nowadays because I haven't been in high school in some years now. So I really couldn't tell you. But I know I would love to wanted to dress like that. I was dressing fast. Let's not get it twisted. I was definitely dressing fast in high school. If I could dress like Maddie, I would have. If I had the confidence, my mom didn't know where I was getting my money from and all this extra stuff. Like, I definitely, if I knew how to sew, whew, I was even trying to. I remember getting, here's the thing, story time. I got in trouble for trying to dress like Maddie in middle school. Not like exactly like that, but I definitely remember I had this fit. It was like this jean skirt that I made. I literally sewed together. I made it out of like a pair of pants. I literally like sewed myself a jean skirt, and it was a little short, but whatever. Y'all can suck it. And I was looking cute. I had this like camisole. And then I had this cut, like I had a really, it was really cut, like micro cut, long sleeve, like to give like the look that everyone else is dressing like now. I was doing that back in like 2012, you know what I mean? I was really setting the girlies up. And I remember I had changed my, I had another pair of clothes so I could like change my clothes on the bus when I got home. So my mom worked at home, so I didn't want her to have to like see what I was wearing because she was gonna say some shit. But I remember one of my snitch ass bitch ass teachers fucking called her and told on me. I'm like, how about, bitch, how about you mind your fucking business, how about that? And my mom was like, did you wear that to school today? And I was like, yeah, I did. I don't know if I don't remember if I ended up getting caught or not. I don't remember if I got a like, concussion because she knocked me against my head so hard. I'm not. She probably didn't do that. I wasn't getting hit like that. But I was definitely being a little fast-ass little girl. And that was really real, you know? I think people are really scared about how real that reality can be for people. So, yeah. That's that, but like catch up on Euphoria because I might go over little highlights. Because, oh yeah, Fez, he beat Nate ass too. Oh, I can't. I'm living for it. I was like, I can hear the sound. Like, damn, that hurt. Ooh, that's what that dude was scared. He was scared I was gonna beat him like Fez beat Nate. That's why he got scared. He was gonna call the cops with me because he thought I was gonna do that to his ass. Shit, that's so funny. But in other news as well, Bob Saget died. Boo hoo. I don't like that man. I think that man's gonna be reincarnated as a fucking gnat. He can choke on rocks. And yeah, I'm not gonna expand on that. Maybe that's an unpopular opinion, but that man was weird. I go into how jokes kind of and layer some things about a person's psyche, and that man is fucking weird. And that's all I gotta say about it. Boom, bam, like that. But I'm just gonna wrap it up right here. You know, I've been chit-chatting again for damn near an hour, having to redo this, but I'm glad I did. I got a clearer sound. Y'all don't have to suffer longer than, oh my God, y'all would, if I would have posted that, y'all would have been like, bitch, I cannot listen to this shit. And I wouldn't have been mad because I couldn't have listened. I couldn't even edit it because of how annoying that shit was. So yeah, you're welcome for saving your ears. But into what you call it, I just want to, really clarify, like, going into the new year, I'm really wanting to renew myself. And that was me ending up like walking out of my job. And if that editing me or hair just to make this tiny little correction, because I could not let this go. And I don't know why I said expire when I meant inspire. But I was on a roll, and yeah, that's what I meant though. Y'all knew that though. But I just had to say it. Fires you to walk out of your job. Yeah, girl, do it, because you shouldn't be a pawn of these capitalist elite either. You know what I mean? Because little did my GM know that regardless of whatever power he felt that he had, he was nothing but a pawn in a bigger corporate structure, a check post, if you will, and a delusional, sad little man that wanted to extend his ego through his position and try to work over people. And that just didn't work for me. So yeah, he can blow it out his ass, and he can kick rocks too. But I really want to take the chance this year by investing in some of my goals. Not dreams, but goals, because dreams are something that are a little bit out of reach. Goals are milestones that you're setting for yourself, you know? And this podcast is being one of them. So I am super excited to talk about whatever the fuck I want this week, next week, and the weeks to follow. Like, next week, I will be talking about how being polite and having to be mild-mannered is necessary to really network and get to higher places in life. And realistically, how everything is just based into nepotism at the end of the day. That's really how the capitalist structure is built. But also, I want to talk about how delusional perfectionism can make you, about your reality, about what you can offer, and how that shit is really unnecessary. And why it's not necessary in the first time. Like, why the extra pressure? Why the need to be perfect in the first place? Where are those seeds being planted at? And how can we pluck them from the fucking root and burn them to ashes? Yeah, that kind of got aggressive, but that's something that's really been stifling my own means of creativity. But yeah. I want to thank you all again for joining my show. And I hope I see you here again next week. And I know that voice is so annoying. I forget who's that girl that used to do that shit. I wonder where she is. I miss her. Thank you guys again for joining me here in my confidential corner while I, spill out my confessions, my thoughts, my wishes, my hopes, my dreams, all of the above. Thank you so much again. And if you like what you hear, like, rate, subscribe to the show, share it with your family, your friends, your cats, your dogs, your whoever, The more the merrier. Share it, spread it, but not the vid, just the pod. Thank you again, guys. see you next week.
I'm out. We'll be right back.